Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Implementation of the new health care overhaul law is moving ahead, while political opponents are still hoping to derail it. Mary Agnes Carey and Julie Appleby, both senior correspondents with Kaiser Health News, join me today. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Bring us up to date. Congress is still on a break for Easter and Passover. Before they left, Republican lawmakers were saying, repeal it. That was the rallying cry. Now that they're back in their home districts, what's the chatter?
Well, they're still out talking about repeal and replace. There are a lot of provisions of the bill they don't like. They feel that their electorate, their voters are with them. So I think you'll continue to hear that when they come back to Washington, but that's going to be all but impossible. The amount of work that was done to pass this bill, there are some very politically popular provisions. Some will come now, some will come later, make it difficult to repeal the bill, but Republicans are hoping this is going to help them get greater majorities in both the House and the Senate in the November elections.
And back here in Washington, implementation is moving ahead. Slowly, though, it's going to be a tough, rigorous process, mostly for the Department of Health and Human Services, that now is charged with filling in some of the blanks that Congress left. What are some of them?
Well, there's a lot, but there are at least four big ones they've got to tackle right away because they go into effect this year. So they're working on the secretary has to define what is direct medical care because insurers have to report how much they're spending on this direct medical care. And that's important because next year, if they don't meet certain spending targets, they have to issue rebates to consumers. So they're working on that. They're trying to decide what's the process for keeping your young adult children on your policy if you're a parent. Kids can now stay on until they're 26. But when is that going to happen? Is it going to be during open enrollment? Will there be a special enrollment period for folks? They've got to define some of that. The secretary is also going to limit annual dollar limits in health policies starting this year, and that's going to affect all types of health policies. But first, she has to draw up what is an essential benefit package. So they've got to decide that, and then they've got to decide what restrictions they're going to put on some of those things this year. And they've also got to come up with a way how small business is going to apply for these tax credits that are going to be coming available this year.
As you were reporting this story, and you talk to small business owners, individuals, how much anxiety, relief, confusion did you sense among the people you were talking to?
Sort of all of the above. I mean, people are just wondering, what does this mean for me? What will I have to change? What do I do? Benefits consultants are telling me, boy, their phones are ringing off the hook. They're trying to explain this even as they don't have all the details because the secretary hasn't come up with all these details. So it's a time of confusion out there.
But also a time of some urgency for the Obama administration because, of course, they want to have some deliverables that the public can read about, feel, hear for the campaign in November.
Absolutely. One of the most immediate deliverables is this high-risk pool. They want to have it up and running in 90 days. It would be for folks who've been denied health coverage based on a pre-existing medical condition. They've been without coverage for 6 months. The Secretary of HHS is reaching out to states that may have a high-risk pool. Do you want to expand that one? Would you like to start a new one? If they don't have a risk pool, do you want to start one? Should HHS step in? That's one of the most immediate deliverables. And as Julie mentioned, the idea of keeping an adult child on a policy until age 26, or stopping the practice of rescissions, denying coverage when you get sick. These are all immediate deliverables they want the public to know about because more of the major provisions, as we know, will come into effect in 2014.
Is it practical to think that the high-risk pools, where they are needed, the few states that don't have them now, 90 days, is it practical? You've covered this story for a long, long time.
It's going to be a lot of work. They're going to have to move very fast. And how are they going to coordinate with the states? Because like you said, a lot of states already have these, but they have different rules. And this federal one is going to cover everybody with no pre-existing condition exclusions, whereas some of the state plans do have those conditions. So how are they going to work all this out? So I think it's going to be challenging.
One last question, a little bit of a left turn from what we've been talking about, but inside the Beltway, eagerly awaited is the report that we frequently get on the financial health of Social Security and Medicare. The Obama administration has asked for a delay in issuing the next report. Why?
Well, they're hoping that it will show a positive impact on the Medicare Trust Fund, for example. The changes they want to make in the program to link the payment based on the quality of service delivered instead of just how many services are performed, the changes they're going to make on the Medicare Advantage rates, the bundling, the payment of a variety of services all at once versus parceling out to each provider. They're hoping this will have a beneficial effect so they can show that, again, perhaps that would be one of those early deliverables you could show to consumers how health reform will benefit you.
Okay. Thank you both very much, Julie Appleby and Mary Agnes Carey. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jackie Judd, and this has been Health on the Hill.